That supposed to be me? That's terrible.
Hello. Music break. That's it. That's the whole song.
Welcome to the
podcast. Hello, and welcome to the podcast. It is December 25th, 2014. Merry Christmas to all of our listeners out there. I'm Patrick, your host, broadcasting live from Jay Fish Racket's Vineyard. So we've got a plethora of people in our studio. We are broadcasting live from the wine cellar. To my right is the man himself, Jay Fish Racket. First time on the show here. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing, sir?
Very well. Thank you for invading my space. Recording this.
We paid a fortune to be here today.
Oh, okay. You charged, I guess the check's in the mail.
Yes, there is a check. To my returning right, returning here, Mr. Brian Weiss. Hello, sir.
Hello. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. This is a monumental occasion because this is the first time we've ever done a podcast in the same room.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, we've broken the streak.
I never really thought about that.
That's true. That's true. We've usually done it via Skype, but now.
Well, the energy is much better.
The energy is much better, especially for me. I get very lonely broadcasting alone. So this is much more my style.
Yeah, but most of our jokes are visual anyway. We have to be here.
That's true. Very, very true.
Like that's why we have the camera.
Like this one and that one.
Yeah. We've also got Podcast Hall of Famer right here.
Hello. My name is Dr. Kenny Sheltsov. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Dr. Kenny. How are you feeling today?
Right.
We've got another Podcast Hall of Famer returning for the first time, maybe since the Hall of Fame, possibly, or the wedding. You were at the wedding, that's right. So, yeah. So, but still, it's been a while.
It has been a while.
All right. It's Joey the Watson Watson. Hello, sir.
Hello. I'm waving at the mic.
Yeah, the mic waves back. Okay. Yeah. It's very good to have you back on the show.
It's great to be back.
It's been too long. How have we gone 7 seasons without doing a Christmas episode?
What's a season?
Oh, I've got, it's all documented.
Just 7 years?
If you head on
largely
over...
Largely arbitrary, but yeah,
it has been 7 years. So, sort of years, but in chunks, in strange chunks. You can actually view the entire history of the podcast over at pat-cast.com. Remember to spell out the dash.
Well, it's interesting. You call things Christmas specials,
but
most of them are anything but, because you just kind of do the same thing.
Right.
So that's maybe... That was special. But that was about life. That was life day.
That was special. Yeah.
They were celebrating life day. I mean, look at us on a vineyard. This is a good time to do our first Christmas.
Very classy
Christmas
place.
Christmas podcast.
Mm-hmm. We may never do a show here again.
You probably won't.
Is that because we won't?
Is that a
we won't be invited back.
There it is.
I mean, I don't know how we got the owner out here. I mean, we freed it up in your schedule. You're a very busy man. I mean, weren't...
Well, I found that all the grapes pretty much just, like, die
right
in the cold weather.
Yeah.
This is my first year in the business.
What?
So,
no, you've been in the business for at least three years.
Or at least seven seasons.
Yeah, but it feels like a year.
It feels like a year. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. You were in New Zealand this morning, correct?
Yes.
How's that? How's the weather there?
Good.
Do they celebrate Christmas any differently over in New Zealand?
Not at all.
The same.
Exact
now, I've heard
same.
Rumors that they operate on a week ahead.
they it's true.
There.
They're
a whole week ahead of the
this
rest
coming
of the world.
Thursday is January 1st, 2015.
Mm-hmm. So Christmas was last week.
Christmas was last
so
week.
So what did you do?
What did I do? I went scuba diving.
I was gonna guess snorkeling.
Snorkeling? People mix those things up all the time. they're pretty interchangeable.
It's when they realize halfway down when the breathing's not working. I'm snorkeling.
Now, I did read in your second autobiography that snorkeling was a favorite pastime.
Can I ask you where you bought my first one?
You sent him a copy, I thought.
Yeah, autographed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Much wine.
Well, I thought it was weird because it was, you know, you didn't actually write my name. So Christmas was fun last week. So you're doing Christmas again today here in the States.
Right, here in the States.
Which would you
we
say
call
is
them the States.
Yeah, over there.
Yeah.
In the Z. In the newsie.
The newsie.
Yeah,
all of us, me and my newsies.
All the newsies. Yeah.
I think we should start off with a little song. What do you think, Dr. Kenny?
Sure.
I saw the ships
come sailing in on Christmas Day.
Yeah, that's all you know.
There you go. Play the Sophie and Stevens version of that.
All right, and it's called?
I Saw Three Ships.
And that's Jay Fishracket. That's your favorite Christmas song, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Also, name another line from that song. Don't say I saw three ships.
Come sailing in. It's really, it just,
are you confusing
it's so powerful,
it, your,
it just gets me.
With your other favorite sailing song, Come Sail Away by Styx.
By Styx. I do want to hear that, actually. Can we play that?
Next
is there a Christmas version of that song?
Come Sail Away.
Yeah.
Write one.
I will.
Yeah. You're a writer.
You are. You have two autobiographies. There's also some pretty terrible Christmas songs. Pretty awful.
Name one.
We'll start with Brian. Brian shook his head like he may have had something in mind. I'm going to put you on the spot here, Brian. Is there a Christmas song you actually despise? Maybe you're tired of hearing? It's played way too much?
I don't think that it's played way too much is like a fair criterion for judging Christmas music. They're all way too much.
That is incorrect. Completely valid reason for hating Christmas music or a particular Christmas song.
I would like to, just so that the members of the jury are aware, this man hates Bing Crosby.
There it is.
I would just want to say,
which I think eliminates you from this conversation.
I hate Bing Crosby, but that doesn't make me a racist. He's a rapist, and I hated the Crosby Show.
Not Bill Cosby.
What? Who?
Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby. Not Bill Cosby.
I don't know who that is.
I believe on our Thanksgiving episode, I won't play a clip because I would love for our listeners to go back and check out that episode.
It's
was fantastic. There was a little bit of an argument, you could say, argument of the year on the podcast.
It was more like an argument.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an argument. Yeah, that's what
I
said.
It was an argument. I would have just called it an argument.
Yeah, it was an argument. Dr. Kenny said a few
choice words
about Mr. Bing Crosby.
Is choice a word? Does that mean wrong?
Yes,
it means he chose his words.
And the response from Brian, he got up and left the studio for a brief moment. He came back. He had to cool off.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. That was in Zealand.
Hanging out with your newsies listening to the
newsies. Me and Crutchy.
Yeah. And they're called Kiwis.
I know.
No. So wait, are you gonna say you don't like any Bing Crosby Christmas songs? Or you
me?
Love Bing Crosby?
I love Bing Crosby. But I was saying that, I mean, if we're gonna start talking about bad Christmas songs, and if we're gonna use It's Played Too Much as a criterion, then we're just gonna name all the Christmas songs.
All the Christmas songs written before 1974. Yeah.
What's the cutoff there? What got written in 1975 that's not played enough?
Feliz Navidad.
No.
I would submit that's...
No, that's the last song. That's the last song that gets played too much.
Oh,
everything after that
Okay. All I Want for Christmas is
criminally
You.
Criminally underplayed.
All I Want for Christmas is You.
The one song in the last 30 years.
The Paul McCartney one.
That disproves your statement
40
is all
years.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
The Paul McCartney one. Even the John Lennon one. When was the John Lennon one?
That's a lovely song.
Yeah, but let's talk about the percentage of songs that have been written since that point that get played in regular rotation, and the number of songs that got written before that point that get played in regular rotation. There's a gigantic discrepancy.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally lopsided. And it's not like we stopped making Christmas music. It's not like NSYNC and Mariah Carey, the only people who wrote Christmas songs or released Christmas songs since that point.
And Hanson.
Right? They have been consistently... What? Snowed In was one of the greatest Christmas albums
Hanson.
Of our generation. Hanson has been criminally underplayed.
That's
on
true.
Christmas
no one actually does
radio.
Play that. I hear people say, like, around Christmas, I'll see somebody post, like, oh, I brought out the Hanson Snowed In Christmas CD. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right.
So
you don't ever hear a song from that ever played on the radio.
I just
want to
make sure we get this in, like, one sentence. Could you say a sentence that sums up less Bing Crosby, more Hanson? I want to make sure we have that.
I would absolutely like to hear fewer Bing Crosby songs on Sunny 92, for
mm-hmm.
example,
mm-hmm.
and more Hanson songs for the sole purpose of bringing a tiny bit of balance to what has become the baby boomer takeover, the baby boomer strangleholds of Christmas in this country.
I won't disagree with you that we could use some more variety.
Yes, that's all I'm looking for. I'm not saying eliminate Bing Crosby completely. I'm not upset that Bing Crosby recorded music.
This is called flip-flopping.
I'm sorry, what? Okay, never mind. Bing Crosby is... All Bing Crosby stuff needs to die a slow death.
I never
want to hear it again.
No, I hear what you're saying. What we need is more variety. And I completely agree.
Yes.
This is the reason that I so appreciate what Stephen Stevens is doing.
Okay, you're right.
And his, like, 12 Christmas albums.
Yes, I am so on the fence about Sufjan Stevens, but one thing I can
completely
say for
agree.
Sure is thank God he's actually making Christmas music. And albums! He's not releasing a single every year. He's making fucking albums. He's released, like, seven of them. And the only problem is that there's only four listenable songs on those 12 albums.
My problem with that is that, like, on, like, every album, he does, like, different versions of the same song.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
What he does
is
on every album,
right.
One or two, mm-hmm. usually two, even two or three, of the four listenable songs
mm-hmm.
are originals or way underused, very old songs.
A thousand points go to any artist that actually records original Christmas songs. I'm about dead tired of any cover. Even though I'm all for new artists recording Christmas music, because that's my whole argument here. If you record it... And for albums, the Rosebuds recorded an entire Christmas album two years ago.
And it was fantastic.
And why would any band ever do that in today's world? Like, it's such a waste of time and money, because you know it's not going to sell. And you know it's not going to get airplay. But I'm so happy they did it. Thank you, Rosebuds, for making that sacrifice, for my personal listening enjoyment. But Nick Lowe did the same thing last year. Nick Lowe wrote what I think is one of the top three greatest Christmas songs of the past 30 years. Just Last Christmas. So Christmas at the Airport, which we don't have to play here.
Did you say Last Christmas?
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. The very next day, you gave it away. Yeah. Love that song.
Now, which version? The Wham version?
Jimmy World.
The Jimmy World version? The Taylor Swift version? There's so many
versions. I said it already. Jimmy World.
I heard you.
I found that the Jimmy World version is a little too close to the original.
It's fair. And also the version that I have sounds like it's just like somebody held up a tape recorder.
If you're
going to
redo a Christmas song, I request that you do something different.
Let's talk about two...
The Soul's Blue Christmas.
The Shins did that with Wonderful Christmas Time.
The
Paul McCartney one.
Yeah.
That's a nice track. I like that track.
Yeah.
Some
you know who covered that
really
song well?
Sorry. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Jars of Clay actually did a nice cover of that song. It's a nice... But, okay. Two tracks, Christmas songs.
Oh, it's raining.
Should we go
it's
inside?
It's raining, man.
That's not a Christmas,
not a Christmas song.
It said Hallelujah.
maybe in New Zealand, maybe?
Yeah, that's in the newsies.
That's excuse enough for most Christmas radio stations to play a song. Yep. All you have to do is mention, you know, Jesus, and it's like, well, we're close enough.
Yep.
What's enough?
Here's some Doobie Brothers on the podcast.
Alright, two Christmas songs that are underplayed and I think really... Excellent.
Great Big Sled, Killers.
That's the best Christmas song in the past 25 years.
I would agree with that.
Great Big Sled is number one in the best 25 years.
I love that song.
Right. Honestly, but I kind of cut that off at like Christmas rapping. Christmas rapping is like, what a song.
And what were you going to say,
Brian? Two songs. Are they originals?
Two songs
that are underplayed.
Oh, that's right.
That are really high quality, you know. So, Dolly Parton wrote it and recorded it originally, and her version is... Not bad, but it has that kind of Bob Dylan thing where it's pretty good, but mostly it's just cool that she wrote it and recorded it.
Yeah.
Lee Nash on her Christmas album does a cover of it that's just delightful. And it's Hard Candy Christmas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
On that same record, Lee Nash wrote a song called Eternal Gifts, which is another just wonderful little Nashville Christmas song.
Right.
So those are examples of like, there is stuff getting fed into the pot. But it's true that no one digs deep enough.
That's another thing. It's worth mentioning that if there's one particular genre that really drives the whole original Christmas music home, it's country.
Yes.
There are a dozen country Christmas albums released every year.
A lot.
Full
of original songs.
I personally can't enjoy any of them. I don't really like any of them. But thank God it's happening.
But hopefully what should happen is that like every once in a while, they include an original or two, and if someone covers it with a bit more of like a full cast thing, which is what Lee Nash did,
right?
Then you can have some nice stuff.
Yes.
That's what she did with Hard Candy Christmas.
Yeah, but I'm really just advocating for a little balance.
I completely concur.
It is the stranglehold that the fucking baby boomers have on Christmas.
One of my favorite,
still very real.
One of my favorite kinds of conversations, I had this growing up with my dad a lot. So this is reminding me of that, is he and I would go back and forth just duking it out and eventually realize we essentially agreed about the issue.
Yeah.
Which is where that's what we've come to in right. this Christmas discussion.
Yeah.
Came in ready to disagree and then slowly like, wait. Yes, all those things are true. That's what I'm trying to say.
So, you have your, like, old, kitschy Christmas songs, like Jingle Bells and Silent Night, and Deck the Halls.
Silent Night is a carol. You threw it in between Jingle Bells and Deck the Halls.
The fuck do you want from me?
Things are a little different over
these
New Zealand.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, these kitschy songs like Bye Bye Bye, Amazing Grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Backstreet's
Bye
Back.
Bye Bye.
I did.
Yeah, those are Christmas songs.
They're kitschy. Totally Christmas songs.
I guess so.
Bye 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 Christmas. Christmas.
I feel it in my
fingers. Oh, I want to hear that.
That's a good
about,
song.
What about Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer?
Or Choked to Death on a Turkey Bone.
A custard pie. No, but what are your favorite covers of these, like, okay. songs that you grew up listening to that you think Christmas, like...
I know my buddy Tyler Mullins, really likes Weezer.
Who's
they put out a Christmas. Tyler Mullins, you probably heard him on the show. He was on our Thanksgiving episode.
Okay.
Classy guy.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Really like the Weezer Christmas.
Yeah.
Was there a track on that record that he liked? Should
I
call him?
let's call him in. Just like...
All right, we're calling him now. Hello? Hey, Tyler.
Hey.
What's your favorite Weezer Christmas song?
Man, I don't know. Because they put out that album, and I'd say 3/4 of it were just, like, covers. Christmas exactly. Celebration. But anyway, that's my favorite song.
Tyler, have you been drinking tonight, bud? Yeah. Tyler, have you been drinking tonight?
Tyler got stung by a bee.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, no problem.
Take my answer off here.
We were talking about covers. We didn't really get into it.
Not at all.
Because we called Tyler.
Mine is Sufjan Stevens' cover of Joy to the World.
Which one? I feel like there's two.
It's a good, there are two, actually. What we'll call the full one, where it actually goes through the song and sings it. It's got a great little guitar riff in it, and there's a couple variations he puts on the melody that makes it new again. So I really appreciate that cover.
What's number two?
On that list?
Yeah.
Outside of Shoot, like, you want another Sufjan cover I like, or a different cover?
I prefer
else?
Not another.
Not a Sufjan cover.
Concerning Lions, Silent Night.
No. But I'm trying to please Craig now.
Oh, wow.
No one's ever done that before.
Don't say Bing Crosby.
I won't say that.
Mele Kalikima.
My way.
Chris Isaac does a cover of that.
Yeah.
Kevin Max does a really nice cover of O Come O Come Emmanuel with another very minor variation on the melody, which again sets off the whole carol. That's another one I like a lot.
What about you, Craig? Or Joey?
Or Dr. Kenny?
What about you, Joey?
I don't really have one.
You haven't listened to the BLS Christmas album?
They just have like one cover.
No, man, there's several.
I've only heard one.
They had an EP with at least three songs.
Yeah.
And I know they had a single of another one.
Really?
Yeah. There's at least four.
Then I'm behind.
There's at least four that I know of.
I'm behind my game.
Yeah. Well,
what about you, Dr. Kenny?
If we're just talking about classic Christmas songs.
The question I'm posing, I didn't phrase it very well.
Covers,
because
right?
It was covers of songs and carols.
In that case, I like Shaky Graves' cover of Carol of the Bells.
Nice.
That would be my favorite.
That's probably my favorite Christmas song, period.
Really? I generally don't love that song usually.
I've not Shaky heard Graves is different enough. A terrible version of that for me. Like, I've always found it enjoyable.
Yeah.
Especially on Arkham Origins on the menu screen.
Isn't it?
My favorite Christmas song ever is Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, but the original was Judy Garland, and that's probably my favorite, so.
All right. Use that one.
There's a nice moment, and we can all just appreciate it just for a second.
Yeah.
Where you and I just agreed, like, really hardcore.
It's a Christmas miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle.
That on is. That's the finest 3.5 minutes of Christmas music on record.
The Judy Garland version is 2:47. But,
Brian left. Brian has left.
That's it. Brian, I wanted to briefly, since you're apparently a fan of the song, I wanted to talk about that song because it's not only my favorite Christmas song, it's my third favorite song ever, period. I love that song for a few different reasons, chiefly just because it sounds pretty to me. Which I think is a valid reason.
Yeah, it's music.
That's your preference.
Yeah.
If you like but music.
I love the song because I think it's, and I don't really want to get, you know, too pretentious here, but it is ever so slightly ahead of its time because back when it was recorded, most Christmas songs were very happy. And that song really addresses the fact that not everybody has a very happy Christmas. Which is something that's become increasingly common mm-hmm. nowadays. Mm-hmm. It's almost the norm now. If you listen to most Christmas songs released nowadays, it's all about how
loneliness,
and you're being reminded. The Christmas season reminds you of how lonely you are, and amplifies it and whatnot. And it really touched on that. But there's like a significant amount of hope, of course, that hey, maybe by next Christmas everything's gonna be okay.
And for now, you just do your best.
For now, we'll just.
It's one of the. I agree. It's one of the great, just tragedies of. Christmas music.
Yes.
That Sinatra ordered, basically, the rewrite.
Yeah, he ordered the second rewrite, actually. There was an original
version.
The
one that did all the damage, though.
There was an original version that was seriously fucked up and melancholy and depressing. And then Judy Garland and the director of the movie, Meet Me in St. Louis, which is from it's, mm-hmm. what it's from.
Well, that little girl just weeps openly
yes.
next
it's
to
it's not
her.
A Christmas movie, but there's a Christmas scene, and that's where the song comes from.
Yeah, yeah.
And, Judy Garland and the director said, okay, let's try to clean this up, because this is really fucked up. And so, the guy who wrote it changed it. And then, Frank Sinatra wanted to record it for his Christmas album, which was called, like, A Very Jolly Christmas.
Yeah.
And he went to the writer and he said, can you fix this line? The line that he fixed was, the line was, until then we'll have to muddle through somehow. And Frank Sinatra got it changed to, hang a shining star upon the highest bough. That's where Frank Sinatra came in.
Well, the key difference is next year, all our troubles will be out of sight yes. versus from now on, our troubles will be out of sight.
Yes.
And it's true that it's a great... I mean, that's what's so powerful about Christmas time and, like, the winter solstice and the fact that we've had... that there's been a celebration mm-hmm. at the darkest time of year all the way back to, like, the Roman Saturnalia.
They're yeah.
Like, this is when we're... This is when nights are the longest, and light shines the brightest. This is, you know, this is when, like, we all gather the closest around warmth.
Yeah.
And it's horrifying, and babies die because of the winter cold, and we're going to make it through somehow.
Yeah.
Another song that's that hasn't been changed, but doesn't register in most versions as a heartbreaking song that was kind of from the same era of songwriting.
It's Jingle Bells.
It's Jingle Bells. Those bells. No. I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Yeah.
Because you realize in the last line of the chorus, or of each verse, rather, that the singer won't be.
Right.
Right? If only in my dreams. It's a wartime song,
mm-hmm.
you know. When most people, when they sing it or listen to it, I don't think that registers. That's a song about longing that's not fulfilled.
Right.
And yeah, I agree that when you admit that into a Christmas song, that's when it becomes really honest and really good. It's like really good lullabies. Like, lullabies are soothing but also kind of terrifying.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway. Darn tootin'.
Did we agree that whole way through?
I think there's some hope in I'll Be Home for Christmas. It's I'll Be Home. If only in my dreams, it's not necessarily saying that he won't be home for Christmas. He's saying there's a chance he'll be home for Christmas.
Sure.
If only in his dreams. I mean, so there's still that option. Yeah.
That's true.
And hope. Yeah. That's
right. There's not a finality to it. It's very much of I have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah. But it calls back to the First and Second World War when Christmas was presented as we'll be home by Christmas. Like the war will be over by Christmas. And the war is never over by Christmas, you know, historically. And so that's what that calls to mind. Is like, oh, this is awful. Surely we'll make it home then, you know? Mm-hmm. And then admitting at the end that maybe not.
Yeah.
Which is that tension between darkness and light is what makes Christmas such a strange... Which is another reason, looping back around, that I love Stephen Stevens' Christmas albums so much. Because they are... The listenable songs are usually kind of dark. That Was the Worst Christmas Ever, for example, which is about, like, domestic violence at Christmas.
Yeah.
In each of his Christmas albums, he correctly and very potently expresses the kitschy, joyful nonsense of Christmas.
Yes.
And the darkness.
Right.
So I like what he's doing, not even necessarily to listen to them, but just to think about them as pieces.
Yeah.
They're very complete expressions of the time of year, which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Most albums embrace one or the other.
Yeah.
He's doing both.
Yeah.
I like that.
Me too.
Who doesn't? Christmas movie discussion.
Yeah, Joey's the movie guy, so I want to hear Joey's thoughts on Christmas movies. But I want to preface it with, I saw a comment on Reddit a couple of years ago that said that this guy and his wife have a rating system for Christmas movies, judging how Christmassy a movie is. And it's a tree system. There's four trees. Okay?
So I was going to say, do you mean, is it Santa with muscles? At the worst,
no.
To it's a Christmas Story.
It's not a scale. It's not a scale of quality.
Okay.
It's not a scale of quality. It is a scale of how Christmassy a movie is. The one tree is any movie that just has a Christmas scene in it. So like Harry Potter, we have a Christmas scene. That's a one tree. It's not really a Christmas movie, but there's Christmas.
But for some reason, ABC Family feels the need to show it as a Christmas movie every year.
Didn't they come out around Christmas time, though, every year?
Not every year.
Not everyone. Some of them were summer movies.
I mean, that's like The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. Those are...
You need to watch your tongue.
They came right out... now.
Avatar.
Yeah. That's the best Christmas movie.
The Interview.
The Interview, yeah.
Which will be coming to you soon on Crackle.
For free.
Yeah.
But then a two-tree Christmas movie would be a movie that is... sort of set around Christmas, but Christmas doesn't actually have anything to do with the plot. It just sort of happens to occur during Christmas time or thereabouts. Like Die Hard.
Like Die Hard.
That's a Christmas movie.
I know what your argument's going to be, and we'll get there in just a second.
Or like Iron Man 3 for some reason.
Yeah, like Iron Man 3 is probably like a two-tree Christmas movie because for whatever reason, it occurs during Christmas time.
Yeah, man.
And the Santa Claus... I don't really get what we're doing.
A three-tree Christmas movie
New Zealand.
Is a Christmas movie whose plot is largely informed by Christmas time, but you could conceivably set it during another time of year, such as like Jingle All the Way. Which is really about a dad's quest to buy the perfect toy for his son, but you could realistically set that during his birthday or some other time of year. Yeah. But a lot of the movie comes from the
his bar mitzvah.
Christmas time. Yes.
Yeah, totally.
Then a four-tree Christmas movie is just like Christmas propaganda.
Yeah.
It's like the movie only exists because Christmas, like the Santa Claus,
Elf?
Or like Rudolph,
Elf.
Or something. Any of the claymation movies are like, this doesn't make any sense for like the July 4th.
Yeah.
Like, so...
Yeah.
Christmas in July.
So, the argument is Die Hard a two-tree or a three-tree Christmas movie?
To me, it's a four-tree.
That's impossible. That's impossible.
The whole reason he went out there was because of Christmas.
But he could have gone out there for any other reason.
Correct.
He didn't. He went out there for Christmas.
Rudolph is never going to be in the sky on a day other than December 25th or 24th.
I'm still waiting for the sequel where Rudolph realizes that on non-foggy Christmas Eves, he's going to be useless. And conspires to, like, a horrid fog machine.
That's why he's now in every movie.
There needs to be a second verse to that song.
Got run over
by a reindeer. Because they didn't need his nose anymore.
Then all the reindeer forgot him.
He got in his own way. What?
You could say it's a three tree.
It's pushing it. Three tree is pushing
Die
Hard.
I think three tree is pushing it for Die Hard.
I think two tree is most appropriate because it's really just a hero. Because, of course, it spawned the whole Die Hard on a train, Die Hard on a bus, whatever, you know. All the others, Speed and Under Siege wouldn't exist without Die Hard.
No, you're right.
All those movies exist very comfortably outside of the Christmas season.
It's true that most of the...
Well, even some of the Die Hards exist outside Christmas.
It's also that most of the big moments, like the like never forget moments from Die Hard, are completely transposable any time of the year.
Of course.
No.
If you bring up the daggum soundtrack, you could have used
No.
Let's hear it.
He kills the one guy, sends him down, and what's written on his shirt? Ho ho ho. Now I have a shotgun. With Santa Claus sitting in his lap. Or in...
I'm going to rewrite that scene real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
Ha ha ha, now I have a shotgun.
The clown next to him.
It's
now
May 12th.
I mean, yippee-ki-yay, like, come on down, we'll have a few laughs. Like, none of those, like, none of those lines are wrapped around Christmas the way that the lines in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer are.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
It's a two-tree Christmas movie, but I totally get your argument.
It's still a Christmas movie.
It's still a Christmas movie.
And I'm glad it's at Christmas. It's one of the things that makes that movie so great. So, like, while I'm arguing for, like, a two-tree, I still love that it's at Christmas. It's one of the things that makes it wonderful.
First movie I watch for Christmas every year.
We only have the one tree in our house.
Just go buy a box of Little Debbie Christmas trees and you'll get five.
We should put the bottles of wine on this side of the table. Then maybe it'll keep up with it a little more, yeah.
Because, I mean, what another one that would be similar would be a movie called Just Friends.
Yeah.
It's my favorite Christmas movie.
Amy Smart?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis. What is that?
No, that's...
Friends with Benefits.
That's Lost in Time. Honestly, what is it? Something with time.
It was better than the...
Empire Strikes Back.
Ashton Kutcher... what's her name?
That's a new show.
Oh, yeah.
Black Swan.
Wow, I just realized.
Also Christmas.
Well, it came out there.
Didn't it come out?
They came out like the same year, like a month apart. Yeah. Something like that.
I love movies like that.
Does anyone understand why that happens? Why does it happen?
So strange. It's
the same plot. We've talked about it before.
The Abyss and the Sphere and Deep Impact and Armageddon.
Braveheart and Rob Roy.
Mission to Mars and the other one, Red Planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird, right?
Yeah, it's not that weird. Yeah. Script gets passed around, and everybody goes, okay, this sounds good. Let's make our own version. Good.
Yeah.
And they push it to get it.
Oh, they bought this one? Well, we saw the script. We can make our own.
Yeah.
And it's very similar to
It's too bad, though. The greatest casualty of that, this is way off topic, but the greatest casualty of that trend is Rob Roy, which has the best sword fight, certainly in Western films. Like, it's got the best duel, hands down. And got completely snowed and ignored because it got released the same summer as Braveheart, which was the other thing about Scottish Rebels. And so, like, no one noticed Rob Roy, which is a great movie.
Yeah,
I see you said snowed.
We had the Illusionist
on the Christmas
Prestige
episode. Yeah, that's another great
episode. And most people were like, oh, I saw the Illusionist first and I love it. And I was like,
no, that was the Prestige.
Prestige all the way home.
I was about, like, I saw those two movies, like, I think a day apart.
Yeah.
And then for, like, a month, I just somebody would talk about one and be like, oh, yeah, it was so great, but I was always thinking of the other one.
Yep.
You know, the actual, like, nonfiction history of the rivalry that's depicted in The Prestige and also kind of a reference in The Illusionist, the same kind of thing. Well, we're way off topic. We need to go back to the topic. It's
Christmas movies.
It's fine. Christmas movies. It's a good story, I'll tell you.
You can wrap it around. Come on. All right. I have faith in you.
You're right. Okay, so what's cool is
there was snow.
So
it was lighting a town.
Like the part that's stolen from kind of like history is in The Prestige when you have these two warring magicians who are performing on like different nights of the week and it's all about who will get the bigger crowds. there was a rivalry like that at the, around that same time. I think it was in...
Yeah, Leno and Letterman.
No, no, no. Magicians.
Oh.
And,
If you don't think Letterman's a magician, I'm sorry.
I can see... I can see that point, just to stop you from talking. So, there was this rivalry, and there was one very burly, bearded magician who was not a great showman, but did some amazing tricks, and there was another more, like, tuxedo magician who was equally great, and they kept topping one another. One would perform on Mondays and Fridays, one would perform on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and they would just, crowds would just barrel from one to the other, like, all week. Like, who's gonna top, who's gonna do the next great thing? And after, like, weeks of this frenzy in Austria, I think it was, the burly magician ripped off his disguise and revealed himself to be the same magician.
Oh,
so it was one guy playing the whole city back and forth, topping himself at each performance. I'm amazed that neither magician movie ripped that off.
Right.
It's such a cool twist.
Right.
Which reminds me of the way that tinsel twists around Christmas trees. Aren't Christmas trees nice?
Well played, sir. Well played.
First of all, I just got whiplash.
I knew he could do it. I knew he could.
That's a great twist. All right. We haven't talked about Charles Dickens once.
Oh, you want to talk about Charles Dickens?
Yeah.
All right, hold fucking on. Hack.
I know. And that's it. It's over. So
I will pour my beer on the microphones. Yeah, Dickens. I want to talk about Dickens.
All right.
What were you going to say, Dr. Kinney?
I don't have an opinion on Dickens. Well, I don't think I do. I'll wait until you start talking.
You probably do. And I can guess what it is. It's Mickey opposite of mine. He's waiting to know if I love him or hate him.
Eventually,
and
though,
then he'll express himself.
Eventually, though, we'll agree that...
We actually think the same
like
thing.
Like one book a year, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, to Charles Dickens, he... A lot of times you read... When you read A Christmas Carol every year.
Yeah, I do.
I watch it.
It's fine.
Me and Mickey. And
Muppets.
The 25-minute version.
I grew up with that
Yeah,
one.
That's good
We're
stuff.
We're going with Tom's again?
Why, it's you, Ebenezer.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, that's creepy. That's good stuff. Of course, the Muppet version is the greatest.
It revitalized Michael Caine's career. He wasn't doing shit before that.
Did you read my blog?
He's never read your blog a day in
his
life.
He would have never done those Batman movies.
He wouldn't have.
He's never appeared in the...
He wouldn't have.
It's probably true.
It's fine.
It single-handedly saved the Kane-Hackman theory. The theory that there is...
Which I didn't ask. That silence was not asking. That was just hoping that someone else would say a thing to change the subject.
I thought we knew what the Kane-Hackman theory was.
We do. We all know.
No.
Cool.
Damn it!
You can tell me that.
Okay.
Here's some Charles Dickens.
You have to go to just like Patrick Stewart's audiobook.
Just read like the first two lines and that's it.
Oh man.
You know what goes great with milk?
Cookies?
Cookies.
Nutter little... butter bites.
These chocolate covered pretzels were quite a hit. I'm quite proud of myself.
Yeah. They were delicious.
Yeah, the taker's too bad.
Dr. Kenny made some great treats.
That'll fill you
Can
up.
We talk about Dickens and Batman?
Yes!
We're gonna do a Batman episode starring Brian Bice and Joey Watson. In a few weeks. On the show.
No.
I had a small thing
It'll
to say about
Well,
Dickens.
With all the music in.
Let's hear Dr. Kenny's small thing about Dickens.
Right. Let's hear Dr. Kenny's small Dickens.
I think Dickens... It's funny, Dickens, I think, set the standard for Christmas imagery for a long time.
Say.
Oh, my shit! Are you serious?
For real.
Okay, go ahead.
No,
I want to hear your
simultaneous.
Version. Yours will be filled with much better vocabulary.
That's not true.
Yeah,
yours will be filled with history,
It's true.
Too.
Your objections are superfluous, my
I'll
friend.
I'll have such 10-letter words. I want to hear your version.
No. Well, I mean, that's what I was going to say. Is that what's amazing is that, I mean, he wrote a Christmas story just about every Christmas that he was writing.
Yeah.
That he was at the top of his game.
Right.
But with A Christmas Carol especially, because that was the one that... I mean, he published that thing in December of... whatever the year that was, I can't remember. But by January, there were upwards of half a dozen productions on stage of A Christmas Carol.
Right.
Like, less than 6 weeks from publication of book to performance of play. Like, that thing hit so hard.
Yeah.
And it's still around.
What's amazing is so much of how they talk about Christmas and so much of what happens in that book at Christmas, when we read it now or see it now, we think, yeah, that's what you do at Christmas.
Yeah.
But when he did it, it was just kind of almost random choices of many things that happened at Christmas.
Yeah.
But he codified them, you know? codify, that's a good one, right?
Yeah, right on.
Right. So, yeah, he sort of fathered our contemporary secular celebration of Christmas with that one little book.
Yeah, just, yeah, if nothing else, just the imagery, and probably a lot of decoration, wreaths, you know, that seems like a Dickens thing.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And
Because Scrooge's nephew comes in carrying a wreath.
Exactly. Yeah. And, but I was going to say that was the standard imagery for Christmas for a long time, right up until the dag-blasted baby boomers showed up, created Coca-Cola Santa Claus.
Coca-Cola Santa Claus.
And it replaced everything that Dickens sort of fought for. But, so, like, we have two different versions of Christmas, because it's not a fucking 1700s version of Christmas. It's Dickens, and then it goes right into Baby Boomer, and we haven't fixed that yet. So they're all still alive.
So what? Then is Dr. Seuss, like, the latest rendition of Dickens because of what
do you
the
see?
Grinch
I don't
actually
know if
is
I
about?
What do you see?
The Grinch is essentially about the same thing.
What do you mean?
It actually pretty much is.
Scrooge, yeah. No, but yeah, but Carol. The imagery, it hasn't, I don't think, taken a hold.
There's nothing in the Grinch that pervades culture now.
Right.
It was basically Christmas lights and Christmas trees. Yeah. Christmas presents.
Yeah, but it's about when all of that stuff is gone, people still call it Grinch.
It's a riff on the same spirit.
Right.
Yeah.
But it didn't change the aesthetic of Christmas.
Exactly. The world doesn't look different after the Grinch came out.
Right.
Like the way it became different after the 50s.
What was also a very, what was also a crazy, a really crazy move, in the book itself, there are subtle references and very well, it's very well written references to like the nativity story.
Right.
But Dickens pulled off the first massively popular, essentially secular Christmas celebration story. Like, there's nothing religious about what's happening to Scrooge.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just about, it's basically pure nostalgia.
Right.
It's the power of Christmas nostalgia. And no one had done anything with that before.
Right.
Was Dickens quite religious?
He was what you'd call like a practicing Christian. There are characters in his novels that like, or at least one, Nell, who dies, and literally he like narrates them singing with the angels. So like, there's religion in his books. But in A Christmas Carol, it's not about the birth of Jesus or the celebration of the birth of Jesus. It's just about like being together. You know, like he talks about it as a time to a time to recognize that we are all fellow passengers to the grave. That's what he calls Christmas in A Christmas Carol. Not about the church. It's about just recognizing that we're all fellow men. You know. So one of the crazy things he did was he invented the secular Christmas story.
Right.
Which is crazy.
They give it two trees.
Two trees?
You don't think you could be visited by the ghost of St. Valentine's Day past?
Easter past?
I feel like you're just playing like Mad Gab now. That's not quite the same thing, you know. Like, and then they put up a August tree and decorated it with a Valentine's Day angel. It's not the same thing.
Put up a tree in April.
Arbor Day. Christmas Carol could be an Arbor Day. It's in the title, Dr.
Right?
K. Christmas is in the title.
Yeah,
it's in the title of the day.
We decided It's a Wonderful Life during that whole thing. We decided It's a Wonderful Life is a two tree.
I agree.
What about the Santa Claus?
Also, Zuzu's Petals, great band name.
Yeah, that's true.
Great, that's all good and well. What about Santa Claus?
Fortree. It's Fortree.
There we go.
Fortree.
That's all I'm looking for.
Literally cannot exist without Christmas.
About Home Alone.
Two.
What What about Home Alone?
Because that whole story can...
What?
Because that could just exist. Oh, we're going on vacation for the summer. Oh, we left him at home. Right?
Yeah, two-tree. Yeah.
Okay, for sure. So what's the criteria of a one-tree?
I don't know.
Oh, just a movie where Christmas is sort of... It's not the whole setting.
It might
just, there's a Christmas scene. Like, Meet Me in St. Louis, one-tree. There's a Christmas scene. It just sort of happens. It doesn't have anything to do with the beginning of the end. Mm-hmm. Any movie that takes place over the course of a year, yeah. Sorcerer's Stone.
It's a Wonderful Life is like that, too.
Serendipity. Yeah.
It's a one-tree.
Holiday!
I feel like there's like a fluid... Should be a fluid element to it, though, like, because which... Let's say they would Die Hard, like, which moments, which of the most powerful moments of the movie, like, when It's a Wonderful Life, that movie takes place over a span of, like, decades, mostly not at Christmas.
I guess.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
No. Very. Yeah, flashbacks.
Very briefly.
Well, it
yeah.
starts with him saving his brother from the ice. That's when he's a kid.
Yeah.
But, like, Merry Christmas! Like, when he's running down the, like, that's the big, the big cathartic moment.
Right.
Revolves around Christmas.
And then
yeah, but he doesn't have to say Merry Christmas. I mean,
what would he say? Happy September!
It doesn't have to be a holiday. It
could just cool.
be, how's it going, everybody?
For everyone!
Yep.
Oh, man. We need an out.
So that would be a one.
What? Hot Rod? That would be a one.
I don't think it would be...
That's a one.
That's a negative
one. It's a one.
It's a zero.
Scrooge comes out at the end. I go to
Scrooge. That's right, it does. It's the one.
I just want to watch this angry dance scene in the woods.
Yeah. After punch dancing, I can gout to a wooden glen. And after punch dancing out my rage.
Out. We need an out, Patrick.
Thank you for listening to the Christmas edition of the podcast. Thanks for sticking around this long. We've had a swell time. Wouldn't you all agree?
Yes, sir.
All right. One last...
Apparently, I'm the only one that agreed.
All right. Merry Christmas, ladies and gentlemen.
Merry Christmas. Drink my wine.
Great wine.
Put my grapes in your mouth.
On the next podcast.
The look on his face. How quickly he forgot the bit.
I am. I'm a writer.
Oh, yes.
You're a writer.
All right.
Oh, yeah. That's got Christmas written all over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could just see myself like... Opening presents to that, jerking it.
Jerry Fisher.
Sorry. I forget I'm in the States.
Now when I hear white
Christmas is a little different down there. I guess I did find a difference.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.